architect who ever lived. He was a builder of cottages and country houses primarily. Quite often, he designed additions for extant homes, sometimes renovated, dilapidated ones. John Nash tried very hard to be picturesque. Usually, he wound up loading his designs with what has been described as negligent and affected detail. Nash had, well, he had no feeling for fine points. He depended on hips and gables and dormers and brick and half timber and thatch to create atmosphere. He built many stucco front houses until that novelty wore off. John Nash got rich regardless of his shortcomings, and for all of his ineptitude, it must be said that his concept of picturesque never quite became grotesque except once. And that is the rest of the story. John was 73 years old. He was preparing to retire when he heard from an old friend. John had done some remodeling for the old friend at one time, and again his friend was approaching him as a client. The man owned a house in the city. He wanted it rebuilt and enlarged. John said he would take the job. Money might be a problem, the friend warned. He was having his usual financial troubles, but John reassured him that something could be worked out. And while his friend went for a visit to the country, John began his struggle with the old townhouse. Originally, John had intended only to move a wall or two, but his plans got carried away. In fact, one thing led to another until the hapless house was eventually completely demolished. Completely demolished. What remained was almost entirely the product of the architect's limited imagination. Now, John Nash was a long time finishing this, which proved to be his final project. In fact, neither he nor his client lived to see the place occupied. And yet, despite the time it took and the quality of materials used, the results were greeted with mixed laughter and shock. Among other things, it was called vulgar. Some said uninhabitable. It was considered a white elephant, a monstrosity filled with useless and expensive inventions, which might have blown up had they worked. And worse yet, much of the building itself was deemed structurally unsafe, beams in the wrong places, and that sort of thing. So a subsequent official investigation disgraced John Nash. Clearly the cottage builder had gotten in over his head. For years the place was dismissed as an eyesore, an ugly pile of junk, that is, until the original owner's niece moved in. For the client who had commissioned John Nash to rebuild and add onto his townhouse was England's King George IV. And his niece ultimately grew cramped at Kensington, was in need of a London residence. His niece was Victoria, the Queen, and her presence made John's junk pile acceptable. And today, who would dare call it anything but beautiful? The monstrosity which so disgraced its designer, a remodeling project that got out of hand, called Buckingham Palace. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL, brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local, reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Okay, we're back, and the phone lines are open, 238-5775. What do you think President Trump should do when he becomes president in 2 weeks or so? What's the first things you want him to do? What do you want the Congress to do? What's important to you? What issues are important to you? I'd like to know what's on your mind today, not just listen to me talk all day, because I can do that. Until they call, you know, things that are happening. You know, when you don't speak clearly, if you cannot identify terms, if you can't identify a threat for what it is, you start to turn into a country like England, where you have gangs of young Muslim immigrants who take young girls, 12, 13-year-old girls, and they, quote, groom them. In reality, they're not grooming them. What they're doing is they bring them into places where gangs hang out, and they gang rape them. And that's been happening for some time. And according to some others, like J.K. Rowling, he says the details emerging about rape gangs, they're not grooming gangs, did to girls in Rotherham are downright horrific. The allegations of possible police corruption in the case are almost beyond belief. Police know about this. But in Britain, when they had a man stab a couple of little girls, they're dancing. They're 8 and 9 years old, I believe, and this guy walks up and he killed them because they were engaging in activity he didn't like. And he stabbed them. The police came down hard on anybody who went out on the internet or any other venue and publicly identified them as Muslims or talked about the circumstances on which these young girls were killed. And they said, we're going to cite you for inciting violence or anti-immigrant violence. Well, this is a big problem. Now, a person like J.K. Rowling, she's a billionaire. She's well-known, a very popular figure. She's able to speak out. Now, she's taken a lot of hits from the gay community and some others because she also stands up for her daughter and says, little girls should not be subject to walking into a restroom or a gym or anything else, a locker room, and have males present there, men who are actually biological males who think, well, they feel like women today and they want to hang around the girls' locker room. She's been fighting that in England. She's able to fight it. She's been threatened by authorities, but so far they haven't done anything to her because her popularity and her money speaks volumes. But the average person, they've gone around the country and they have come down hard on people that simply speak the truth. When you cannot speak the truth about what a threat is, you're going to be conquered. You're going to be basically subjugated by these people. And this is what's been happening all over Europe. You have churches, cathedrals all over Europe, in France and Germany, England in particular, that are being taken over and turned into mosques. Or if they're not vacant, they're being taken over by people of the Islamic faith. Now, I don't have a problem with them taking over if they're not being used and they want to buy them, they have a right to do that. But there is a growing movement in Europe, more and more so, where the West values of Western civilization are being suppressed and in favor of people who do not believe in free speech, who believe that you should be subject to them, that only their ideas should be allowed to be spoken of in the public square. And they are very powerful, and they are gaining more strength every day. And the elites of that country have done a great deal of disservice to the heritage of that country, which basically came up with the Magna Carta, detailing the rights of Englishmen going back, I don't know, 1,000 years now, close to 1,000 years. And as the basis of a lot of our common law and things like that. And the rights of man, individual liberty, things like that, the individual rights of Englishmen. That's where we got our laws, aside from the Bible, where those laws were derived from as well. It talks about individual liberty and freedom and being accountable to God. These people have a totally different idea of that, and the elites in their country are crushing political dissent in England. You do not have free speech in England anymore. You don't have free speech almost anywhere in the European Union, where a very large bureaucracy pretty much rules the roost and says what people are allowed to say, what they're allowed to read. They even tell Swiss chocolate makers what their recipes have to be, at least they tried to. And that's kind of what it's like to live under this massive government bureaucracy, which we are experiencing to some degree in the United States, and people are pushing back. That's why Donald Trump got elected president, again, because people are pushing back and pushing back hard and say, no, this is America. We have rights. You don't rule us. You serve us. And that's what needs to happen. But anyway, that's what's happening in England. You have things like little girls being dragged into whatever, and subjected to sexual abuse, and then the law enforcement agencies don't do anything about it. I have a hard time believing that American peace officers would tolerate that. In Britain, some really weird things have been happening for a long time, and if you watch any British TV, you'll see that. The relationships between people and their peace officers or police officers in Britain and the political pressures that come down from the top. I mean, political correctness, woke ideology is rampant in government institutions, but especially in the security services, especially in the law enforcement agencies of Britain, far more so, I think, than they are in this country. Perhaps I'm wrong. I don't know. I'd like to hear your opinion on that. I'd like to hear your opinion about what you think the president should be doing. What are the first things you want him to do in the first day, the first week, the first month of his presidency? And I know we've talked about some of these things before, but I want to hear from you today. What's going on? What are you thinking about? Now, what's going on in California? This is going to be interesting. We talked about immigration a lot. You have the American First Legal Foundation is putting a lot of elected leaders in California on notice. They sent a letter on December 23rd to San Diego County as being a sanctuary jurisdiction that is violating federal law. And they're basically warning them of facing legal consequences over immigration policies. Now, the law of the land are pretty clear, and the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution is pretty clear. You know, you're not supposed to aid and abet people who are breaking the laws of the land. And if you're aiding and abetting someone coming across the borders of the United States, like a lot of the non-governmental organizations, NGOs, are doing, and I don't understand why, well, that's one of the things I ought to talk about when they get into office, is going after these guys, taking away their tax-exempt status, putting out indictments for them for conspiring to violate the immigration laws of the United States because they work down in Panama, Guatemala, and other Central American countries, to encourage people and to facilitate people coming into this country illegally, including how to avoid a lot of the laws or legal pitfalls that we have and to get as many people into the country, just literally flying them in with the connivance of the State Department into our country, putting thousands of Somali refugees, for instance, in small towns in Maine, putting Haitian refugees in Springfield, Ohio, which is about 12 miles away from where I grew up as a kid. It was a largely black community. They have Wilberforce University, but these people's values are culturally at odds with the black community in Springfield, and they're pretty upset about that. But things like that going on. Anyway, they put them on notice. You can be prosecuted. I would personally love to see a group of U.S. Marshals walk into the state capital of California, push aside the security detail of Governor Gavin Newsom, and hand him an arrest warrant, and arrest him, put him in handcuffs, and then fly him to some place like Guantanamo. Not in California, but basically put him in to handcuffs and see him taken off in a no-bail offense because he's a flight risk. And not allow him to make political hay out of it and do that to any other public official that tries to prevent California law enforcement officers from assisting federal officers like Immigration, Customs Enforcement, ICE, or Border Patrolmen from doing their duty. Because, frankly, American citizens are dying. Refugees, people, migrants coming across the border are dying. Hundreds of thousands of children are being trafficked because of what's happening in the immigration policy. But I'd like to see something like that happen. If you disagree with me, please call and let me know, 238-5775. If you agree, give me a call and let me know. Because I want to hear from you today, not just me, but that's something that's happened. And it's going to be interesting to see what actually takes place. If they're actually going to do that, which I think would shake some people up, these elected officials that think that they can ignore the law. I know the San Diego City Council just recently voted, or San Diego County, I guess it was, Board of Supervisors recently voted to basically prohibit their people, their law enforcement officers, from cooperating with federal officials. And I say, okay, sheriffs are elected officials. They have sworn to uphold the Constitution and the laws of the land, which are very clear, and I know a number of them are telling them to go pack sand. I don't know what the San Diego County Sheriff and their police officers are doing. City police a little harder because councils can fire the city managers who can also fire the police chiefs. But that political pressure is there. If they suddenly say, okay, we're going to arrest your council if you interfere, that'll be interesting. And also the president can deputize local law enforcement. It says, you're now Deputy United States Marshals. I am basically commandeering for law enforcement purposes your facilities. I'm taking your county jail, I'm taking your squad cars, I'm taking your officers, and they are now going to work for the U.S. government and to assist us, just like you see in the movies. I need your car. Police officer shows a badge and they toss you out of your car and drive away in your car to do something, chase a bad guy. I think that's more fiction than fact. I've never seen that done. I've never even heard about it actually being done. Maybe it is. I don't know. But anyway, the bottom line is I'd like very much to see that happen on a local scale, to have them come in, because I think that might change everything. These guys think that they can pander to the more extreme elements of their political party, and the Democrats have been pandering to the far left-wing fringe of their party since Joe Biden became president. He campaigned as a center-left or center type of candidate and moderate, and he governed as extreme far left, because I think the extreme far left was in charge of that presidency from day one. So we'll see. I'd like to hear from you. Let me know what you think. There's a lot of national security stuff going on. I could bore you with it, or I could scare you with it all day long. You know, the Chinese are being really rambunctious in the Pacific. They're conducting major exercises off Scarborough Shoals, which is just off the coast of the Philippine Islands. And those are their islands. They've always been their islands, but the Chinese decided they want to take them. And they have a large number of warships out there. And those are fishing grounds for Filipinos. When they go up there and try to fish, the Chinese so-called, quote, Coast Guard and Chinese Navy basically chase them off. And they harass them. They take water cannons and fire at them. They collide with their ships. They just put a 12,000-ton Coast Guard cutter out there. Now, to give you some perspective on that, how big of that, that's a huge vessel. I mean, you had battleships in World War One that were like, you know, 20,000 tons. So to give you some idea, Coast Guard cutters usually aren't that big. But this is the largest Coast Guard cutter in the world, referred to quietly as the Monster because it's so big. It's got a large number of weapons platforms on it to engage in combat with others. But they've stationed that thing down there, too. And that's a big deal. But they're being really aggressive, really, really belligerent in terms of rhetoric and everything else. They're trying to seize everything in the South China Sea. They think they have jurisdiction. It looks like a cow's tongue from China going all the way down between the Philippines, down to Malaysia, all the way to the coast of Vietnam. They're claiming everything. They say that's all theirs. You know, those other countries, China, or not China, but Vietnam, Cambodia, Malaysia, Borneo, the Philippines, they don't have any rights because China says we've always had those areas. And they don't agree. They don't follow international law. They don't agree any judgments from the International Criminal Court or the law of the sea or anything else. They refuse to follow it. And one thing that basically governs the high seas is force. Before, that was enforced by the British Navy. And then after World War II, it was enforced by the American Navy. And the American Navy is pretty much in decline. And we're not able to put so much of a presence out there. And they have more ships than we do and closer proximity to China than we do. We have global responsibilities. Basically, anything we do there, we're outnumbered and win. Now, let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Al.
Hi.
Yeah, to piggyback on your immigration policy about, you know, arresting the higher-ups, I'd like to know, I know that the president on day one has too much on his plate. But for day two, when are we ever going to see anybody held accountable for the Russiagate and all the FBI upper, you know, that lied? And I think, you know, sure the Democrats would squeal, but it's not exactly like say, well, yeah, see, he's going after his enemies. These people actually broke the law, unlike what they tried to do to President Trump. So I'm sure there's so many people out there saying, well, when is Hillary, when is any of these people really going to be held accountable? I mean, it's just we keep hearing it and whatever, and it just never happens. I don't think it ever will, but that's what I'd like to see in day two.
Well, we'll see. My opinion, well, first you got to get Pam Bondi as the Attorney General confirmed, and you got to get Kash Patel confirmed as Director of the FBI. And in the Justice Department, you just turn them loose, and you say, go enforce the law, and they will then start, you know, lifting up the rocks, and they can put pressure internally on their people and say, you know, there's not going to be promotions or hiring freeze and no promotions or pay raises until we start getting the truth of people and calling them in. Like an internal affairs investigation, demand they start talking. And when the people down the mid-level ranks and lower ranks start seeing where, you know, what side their bread's being buttered, hopefully they'll come forward and tell the truth and they'll get rid of the management teams that have been responsible for a lot of this stuff. And it'll come out. It's not going to happen in a day or two or even a month or so. It's going to take time. But it's important that the president keeps his hands off it and just tells his attorney general and his director of the FBI, follow law, pursue justice. And where you find wrongdoing, do what should be done. Make sure there's equal application of law. You're right. The president was definitely politically prosecuted, persecuted by the Justice Department, and you need a clean house. All those management people that did that, some people have to have their pensions threatened, their freedom threatened with prosecution if they don't tell the truth, put them under oath. It's against the law to lie to a federal official, and for an FBI agent to lie to their superiors is also a felony. And you got to have a Justice Department willing to, like a special prosecutor even, to go in and say, if you're going to tell the truth, or I'm going to go after you, and I'm going to take away your freedom, I'm going to take your pension and everything you got. When you start having the log jam start to break, I think it'll turn into a flood, and there'll be all kinds of revelations over time. Whether you can prosecute Clinton at this point, it's been a long time. I don't know if the statute of limitations has run out or not. And that's a lot of things they've done. Or Biden can come out, he could pardon everybody. He can do that. And in which case, prosecution will be difficult, but you can still question them, put them under oath, and say, okay, Did this ever happen? Who told you to do it? And get the whole truth out there. And if they lie about it, then you can prosecute them for current crimes like lying to a federal official, lying under oath to Congress, whatever. The American people need to know the truth. And it's going to take a concerted effort to do that. Now, the other half of the problem is how many agents have been diverted on supercilious things like going after January 6 people who, you know, walked into restricted areas knowingly or not, misdemeanors at best, at worst, you know, and face really serious consequences because of that. How many people were harassed, you know, by FBI agents, you know, looking at PTA meetings and things like that, or pro-life people who were simply exercising their First Amendment rights to protest outside an abortion clinic? How many resources dedicated to that versus going after potential terrorism? And this guy that blew up the place, did what he did in Louisiana and New Orleans, said 6 months ago online he was now a convert to ISIS. So who's monitoring the internet on the part of federal officials about potential threats? You know, I know Biden has misdirected a lot of resources to go after ordinary Americans for simply expressing their opinions on issues peacefully, not making any threats, but simply going after these people, trying to intimidate them. We got to redirect our resources, one, for external threats or internal threats. But we also need to enforce the law fairly and justly and not go after, you know, the president like they've done. And I'd like to see the guys that left the Justice Department that went to New York City to participate in the prosecution of Trump. I'd like to see every email, every conversation they've ever had under oath. Say, okay, who did you talk to? Were you colluding with anybody to see if this was a conspiracy? And if you can prove conspiracy to interfere with the elections, to defame the president, to wrongfully prosecute him, and then go after the judges, go after the lawyers, the prosecutors that went after Trump, if they, in fact, violated the law. Because for those kind of offenses, they should be disbarred, if not actually put into prison. I mean, we can't have that. That's a gross abuse of federal power, and federal power is enormous because they have incredible resources. They can bankrupt you. You can lose your house, everything you got. You can be totally innocent. It doesn't matter. You don't get your house back. You don't get your reputation back. Your life is pretty well put through a meat grinder for 2 or 3 years for political purposes. That kind of stuff needs to stop. And there needs to be very severe consequences for federal officers who violate their oath of office and do things like that. So maybe a half a dozen people who are really behind this really need to be prosecuted. Severe consequences, put in jail. That's how you make the bureaucracy honest. Because they say, that's when they have the guts to tell their boss, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to prison for you. And that's the kind of thing. Anyway, did that answer your question?
Yes, indeed. Okay. I mean, but, you know, they're going to squeal about, oh, you're going after your enemies. But you're right. It needs to be at least some of the higher-ups to give a... show a message, just like Mr. Holman there is going to go after, hopefully, Newsom.
We'll see what happens.
The other ones that won't fall in line. So, you know, it was great when Obama, you know, stopped Arizona from doing their immigration. You know, I don't know, they were going to do something better on immigration, and he stopped it right away. And their argument was, oh, well, it's, it's the federal government's job. But now...
I know.
As usual, the Democrats turn it on its head and say, oh, well, no, you know, we're going to do this. Well, at any rate, good talking to you. Great show. And, Happy New Year.
Same to you. Thank you. Another caller? Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I think the first most important thing is truth. That's the bottom line, is they need to uncover all the stuff that's been going on, lay it out in front of the people, show them what was going on, and say, this is what these people have been up to. And at that point, we can go forward. Because until then, they're lying on top of their lying on top of their lying. And the American people are just really confused. And
yeah,
so
we need to do that. And I think
the core thing is just truth. If Biden was getting kickbacks, or if Congress was getting kickbacks from all the money pouring into Ukraine, we need to know. If they're trying to import illegal immigrants to modify the voting rolls to get the people they want into power, we need to know. If the 2020 election was not real because of the way they modified and did all the stuff they did for that, we need to know all of it. Truth. Truth.
And there may not be prosecutions in that, but just getting the word out. Be part of it. I want to know what Nancy
feels. No, the all you need to do is take away the power that they stole by letting everybody know what they did. And at that point, they're completely untrustworthy. And I guess there's certain people that will still think they're good, but truth. We need to know the truth.
No, it's got to be done under oath.
We can handle it.
Federal courts, and you know, so they can't say, "Well, you're just making it up." It's Fox News. No, it's got to be federal courts. It's got to be under oath and congressional hearings. The American people need to see it, just like they did with Watergate.
Completely expose it.
Yeah,
and you can't plead the fifth because we just want to know the truth.
Well, if they're pardoned and they're not being can't be prosecuted, they can't plead the fifth. They're not being. They cannot invoke that. They have to speak the truth. And if they don't, they can be cited for contempt of Congress, for instance, or not obstructing justice for a federal investigation. So they can walk into that minefield if they want. But at that point, you know, there's no one to protect them anymore. That's going to be really important. And I hope, you know, the people, and I think Pam Bondi, I hope Kash Patel get confirmed. I hope they're able to go in there and do the things they need to do to protect the country. But most importantly, protect the Constitution. And to do that, just like you said, you've got to have the truth out there for people to know what's going on. They need to know if they've been lied to, and who did it and under what circumstances, and what's being done about it. And people have to be held accountable if they did that. You know, not like they did with Lois Lerner with the IRS, when she basically got her pension and everything else. So, okay, we lost that caller. But, you know, I think it's important that the truth gets out there. People need to know what happened. And then we'll see. The national news will probably bury it as much as they possibly can until they can't. Become so obvious that they can't, then that's going to change things. And I think this election did that. They kind of showed them that they were totally out of touch with the American people. And as a result, you know, Trump came back. The Republicans took the House and the Senate. And I hope the American people will increase those margins of leadership that we have in the House and the Senate to give President Trump an even greater mandate going forward to the end of his term. And hopefully somebody then will pick up that mantle from him in 4 years and continue what we're doing and clean up this mess that's in Washington, because we are very, very close from losing our freedoms. And if the Democrats come back in, it ain't going to be, you know, Franklin Roosevelt's Democratic Party. This is the party of Ocasio-Cortez and the Squad and Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and people who do not respect the rule of law, do not respect the Constitution, don't respect free enterprise or freedom. And say they want to shut you up and tell you to pay your taxes and go home. And if you don't, they're going to send people after you. And we don't need that. But we've come very, very close. And hopefully we won't have that. So anyway, that's where we're at. So anyway, phone lines are open. Give us a call, 238-5775. Want to hear what you have to say today. Other things going on in the world. Well, let's see. National security. There's a lot of stuff on national security that are happening right now. I'm going to go to something else. Case in point, your government at war against you in the state of California. You know, it never ends with these agencies. You've got the Southern California Air Quality Control Board has basically put out another edict, so to speak, that's going to ban water heaters and heating appliances, your heaters, I guess, if they have natural gas. And I guess after a certain date, if you replace your water heater or your heating system, it's going to have to be all electric. And the problem is that's going to require massive renovations to a lot of homes, very expensive renovations to do that stuff, to, you know, not have gas lines, to rewire things for electrical circuits and things like that, and especially apartments. If you own an apartment building, I've seen some numbers come out of those, you're talking about several million dollars to renovate apartment buildings to comply with this. If they get away with it down in Southern California and some court doesn't stop them, believe me, it's going to go right across the border in the state of California. I think this has to be done by 2030, so in the next 5 or 6 years, they plan to do this, or maybe even sooner. I have to look at this, but that's the kind of stuff that they're doing. Question for the people that are in California. Do you think they'll be selling gasoline-powered cars after the year 2035? That's a big question going on right now, because of all the regulations they've got going on right now. If they're going to do this, you know, will you be able to get car parts? Will you be able to get gas for your car? Period. Will that be able to happen in the state of California based on the policies that they have? Because they're going full speed ahead. You got this massive investment in offshore wind farms. Have you even considered what the impact of an offshore wind farm will be? You're talking about a structure that's hundreds of feet high, not anchored necessarily to the seafloor, because the offshore shelf in California just precipitously goes, it gets very, very deep. You really can't anchor them to the seafloor offshore so much, 20 miles off. So they're going to be floating. It's going to require a lot of industrial renovations that will happen. For instance, an Avila will become a major industrial port. It's going to require a lot of servicing, the things that you have there. It's going to be a lot of hazards. If they break loose, how are you going to get them restored? You don't have the ships and the infrastructure to support things like that. A power like that is intermittent. Germany's an interesting case. You know, they're not just talking about wind farms, how much they put investing in wind, because after the Yakushima disaster, you know, I think it was 15 years ago when they had a big earthquake and tsunami and their nuclear power plants, they shut down all the nuclear power plants. We're going totally wind, total solar. Well, they have a weather phenomena there where they have these clouds come in, and for a week they don't get wind. They just get really cold temperatures, cloudy weather, and people get cold because there's no wind being generated by their wind farms. There's no solar being generated by their solar farms. And as a result of that, because of all the environmental stuff they've done for climate change, the German gross domestic product has dropped 20%. Now, think about what would happen to the state of California if its GDP dropped 20%. What would happen to America if our gross domestic product dropped 20%? What would that do to your livelihood, your ability to support yourselves? Now, you live in a fairly mild climate out there compared to the rest of the country, but you already buy a good part of your electricity from other states. What happens when other states can't generate enough power for California to buy the excess or surplus electricity, unless they basically take their power away from by offering exorbitant prices for it? But it's going to get extremely expensive. It's already expensive. But what if your power bill doubled or tripled overnight? Could you afford it? Could your business stay in business? Could the business that employs you stay in business? What are they going to do? And I know there's a lot of government employees in San Luis Obispo County, but you know they're closing wings of prisons and things like that. Government has to have money from someplace. They can't just print it at the state level like they do at the national level. What if there's massive layoffs in the state of California because industries just can't make a living there? They can't tolerate the regulation, the taxes, the operating costs because of how high power costs, things like that. That's what's happening. That's happening all over the world right now. Anybody that adopts these radical environmental agendas trying to go with green energy, it's absurd. You know, there's an interesting TV program that's out. It's called Landman. It's got Billy Bob Thornton is the hero in this series. But he basically plays like a troubleshooter for a small Texas oil company, an independent. And he talks about, you know, in his series, what role fossil fuels play. And he just talks reality when a lot of people don't want to talk about reality. He says, we put up a windmill. He says, do you have any idea how much diesel they have to burn to mix that much concrete? He's talking about the stands of a windmill, a land-based, a 400-foot-tall wind turbine standing on a concrete pad that covers a third of an acre and sits 12 feet deep. Is how much diesel they have to burn to mix that much concrete or that much steel and haul it out there and put it together with 450-foot cranes. I want to guess how much oil it takes to lubricate that thing or winterize it. In its 20-year lifespan, it won't offset the carbon footprint of making it. Our solar panels are lithium in your Tesla battery, and never mind the fact if the whole world decided to go electric tomorrow, we don't have the transmission lines to get the electricity. And to the cities. It takes 30 years if we started tomorrow. And that's one of the big points. You know, we have not begun building the grid infrastructure to support this stuff. They just keep talking. You've got a big a battery farm going in Morro Bay, and I'm looking at battery storage farm. What if you have a fire there? You're right next to salt water, and if they have a fire and they try to put it out, where's the runoff going to go? It's going to go into Morro Bay. And just doing this stuff willy-nilly. He goes on to say, we have 120-year-old petroleum-based infrastructure. Our whole lives depend on it because it's in everything, fossil fuels and everything, that road we drive on, the wheels in every car. It's in tennis rackets, lipstick, refrigerators, antihistamines, anything that's plastic, your cell phone case, artificial heart valves, any kind of clothing not made of animal or plant fibers, soap, hand lotion, garbage bags, fishing boats, you name it, everything. getting oil out of the ground is the most dangerous job in the world, he goes on to say. And, you know, it's an interesting character that he plays there. And there's some other things that go on in there, and it talks about it. But, you know, that's the use of fossil fuels. We're throwing all that away, and we're going to build these monster towers. By the way, how do you recycle a blade off a giant turbine like that? You don't. All the laminates they put in there, they're not recyclable. So what they do is they take a bulldozer, and they dig a big trench. And they take these 300-foot-long turbine blades, and they put them there, and they bury them for a couple thousand years, I guess. Not that they're going to degrade or anything, but I'm just saying there's so many different components. You know, the lubricants, the amount of lubricants that go in the average wind turbine is hundreds of gallons of fossil fuels are needed for that, not to mention all the components they just talk about making them. Nobody's talking about that, at least no one on the left. They just go ahead and do this. They've decided they're going to build floating wind turbines off the central coast. They're going to have all these cables stretching down to the ocean bed. Now, we all know California, the Pacific Ocean, is a very peaceful ocean. We never have big waves or big storms, right? Nothing like that ever happens. What happens if you get a 25- or 30-foot wave? What if you have a 100-foot wave, you know, a 90-some-foot wave? Rogue waves, they do exist. They do a lot of damage. I think you just had a pier go down up in Santa Cruz. I've been out there a long time. That pier had some problems. It needed some maintenance, some repairs, some renovations, and they wanted to do them. Guess who stopped them? Environmentalists got together, filed lawsuits, blocked the repairs. Well, the waves hit, 25, 30-foot waves hit, and the pier collapsed. Now you got a multi-million-dollar pile of timbers and excess lumber floating around out there in the ocean because, once again, the NIMBY factor, not in my backyard, or no, you're not going to be allowed to do that because we want to keep things just the way they were. It never got fixed. And the same thing applies here. They're talking about, let's go ahead and do this. What about the gray whales that migrate north or south, for that matter, off the coast of California? I know whale watching is kind of a fun thing to do. I've done it a couple times in my life. But they migrate, and they migrate right through there. Are they going to have any impact on them? You're not going to be able to see it from shore. It's 20 miles away, so they'll be out there. All you'll see is the service vessels that come back and forth and the crews that go out there until there's some kind of disaster. And that's the thing that people have to think about. You know, what is going to happen when you have a big storm come through and you've got a couple of these things detached or they're not working properly? What happens to the coastline? What happens to the power they're supposed to generate? And that power is not available. So just all those different questions, nobody seems to be answering. They're just going out for this, all out for these wind farms. Now, I know off the East Coast, when Ted Kennedy was alive, U.S. Senator Kennedy, they wanted to build one off the coast of Massachusetts. And he raised all kinds of hell about that. And he says, no way, that's where I sail my sailboat. So not in his backyard, but in your backyard, it's okay. And this is the thing. It's going to interfere with fishing grounds on the East Coast. It's going to interfere with your fishing grounds on the West Coast, or anybody still fishes out there. But there's better sources. You know, Diablo Canyon has a few hundred acres from the entire thing that they operate from. They generate about 10% of the power for the state of California comes out of that plant. They have modular reactors now that are built that you don't even have to refuel. They supposedly can't even have any real hazard or anything else to them, but people aren't even thinking about building more nuclear plants in a place like California. And it's kind of sad because Diablo is built with technology from the 1950s and 1960s, and it's out there, and it's going to go for probably another 15 or 20 years. Imagine if they've been able to build more units. What if they've been able to build nuclear power plants, modern designs? We didn't have this massive bureaucracy and legal structure that impedes any kind of technological progress. You know, we wouldn't have to worry about oil for electricity generation or anything else for that matter. We would be able to generate the electricity we need. Now, electricity has to be turned into something useful. It doesn't make things. It provides power for machines to make things, but it does, unlike oil, which has to be refined, oil goes into everything. It's an actual product that's useful beyond that. So imagine what kind of world we have if we didn't have to worry about a lot of this stuff. We wouldn't be having a lot of these fights, and we could put our energies into something else. But that's not happening. California oil is going to stay in the ground. You're going to have wind farms offshore. You're going to have solar plants that take thousands and thousands of acres. You're going to destroy your agricultural industry, so you import all your food or as much of it as they can possibly force you to use, and it won't be grown with environmentally conscious results or organic results or anything else. It'll be grown by people who work at virtual slave labor wages or conditions, and all the pesticides in the world they want to put on it, you won't be able to do anything about it because that's the way things are going to be if you continue to support the same people that you do. But anyway, think about those things. I'd like to hear some thoughts on any of that. What do you think about the Morro Bay battery storage plant? What do you think about offshore wind farms? What do you think about any of that stuff? I mean, I'd like to hear what you have to say about it. There's other laws that are out there, new laws. They're always passing new laws in California to regulate you. Just to give you an example of how serious this stuff can be, if you heard about what's happening in Puerto Rico, their power grid has collapsed because of lack of maintenance, and they're obsolete because of socialist policies and everything else, not getting things done. And so there are massive blackouts occurring there on that whole island. Now, last time they had that was after a hurricane. This time, it just did. It just collapsed. Quit working. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers.
Hey there, glad you could make it. Come on in.
Wow, your kitchen looks amazing. So does your whole house.
Thanks. We just had our cabinets refinished by Peek Painting. They did such a fantastic job, we had them come back and paint our whole living area.
I guess you could say they have your stamp of approval.
Yes, sir, just like everyone else on Google and Yelp. Booking a quote is easy. Just go to peakpainting.com. That's peekpainting.com. And book a time and day that fits your schedule. No back and forth phone tag, just click and book.
Sounds too easy.
Hi, I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Ryan Peek.
And we're the Peek Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peek Painting at peekpainting.com.
Listen to the actual Yelp review by Pastor Robles Class from our happy customer. I had a tough time deciding whether it was worth the money to replace my single-pane aluminum windows with new efficient ones. Only so much money and multiple things that could be updated in my house. Brandon and Steven just left my house after spending 2 days putting in all the new Milgard Trinzic windows. Best money I have ever spent. I never imagined new windows could change the look of a house so much. The best part was all the time that Brandon and Steven took showing pride in their work, making sure I was taken care of as their customer. The customer service they provided made every dollar I spent worth it. I would recommend Pastor Robles Glass and their staff to anyone looking to get glass work done. Too bad more companies don't operate and care about their customers like Pastor Robles Glass does. A really refreshing experience. Signed by our customer, Eric R.
Pastor Robles Glass, the Milgard replacement window masters. Call for your free in-home sales consultation for Milgard Trinzic windows and doors. 805-238-4014. Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Pastor Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go online, DeltaLiquidEnergy.com.
Welcome to that new money smell of freedom. Just imagine all the possibilities you could make good on with a little extra cash in your pocket. Start earning entries now for a chance to win $50,000 in cash or $50,000 in slot free play from Chumash Casino Resort. Drawing September 2nd, 8th, 22nd, and 29th, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Welcome to freedom. Must be present to win. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Oh, Okay, we're going back to the phone lines. You have a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, I have a question. I've heard the windows are...
Are you on speaker? Because I can hardly understand your phone call. Yeah, can you, do you have a speaker on? Can you turn it off and go straight to your phone?
I'm sorry. No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Well, go ahead.
These windows are made up of these materials that are bad for the environment. Would there be a way to make the windmills, like, eco-friendly so that if they fall apart or degrade, they would be okay, like, if they just fall to the ocean floor?
I'm sorry. I'm getting an echo. I can't understand what you're saying.
I'll have to call back. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Let's try again. We're getting a bad call here. Anyway, try again. Sorry about that. Sometimes technology does this. It's snowing out here where I'm at. Maybe hopefully that's what it is, but maybe we can get him call back in a different connection. Sometimes it works. You know, I ask if you're going to sell gas cars in California in 2035 is because of a rule that went into effect with the state of California. The EPA is allowing California to set its own standards, and what that effect is nationwide is only by 2035, only about 29% of the national auto market will still be able to sell gas cars. And maybe Trump will be able to overturn this with the EPA or not. Personally, I think that the Congress needs to strip the EPA of their rulemaking authority and void this via congressional action. Otherwise, it'll be tied up in courts for a year. Some liberal judge will probably tell the president that he can't do what he wants to do. The Congressional Budget Office has already looked at this, or I forgot which group it is, one of the Congressional Budget Office, some other agency. There's a Congressional Review Act. The Government Accountability Office says the president can't block it using the Congressional Review Act, and that implies the House and Senate simple majority can overturn a regulation like that because of its economic impact nationwide. For some reason, they're saying they can't do it. So Congress needs to really restrict the ability of these secretaries or these laws to take effect nationwide. And what happened under Biden, one of the last laws that he's gotten passed, it says repeatedly, and the secretary shall, the secretary shall, the secretary shall. In other words, the secretary of an agency can make rules. They can make law because Congress has abrogated its lawmaking authority to unelected bureaucrats. They may have been appointed, but once they're appointed, they pretty much run amok. And that's what's happened with the EPA, and you get a lot of liberal judges with environmental groups finding the judge they want, go judge shopping, find one that agrees with them, and bring a lawsuit, and he says, no, you can't do that. So the Congress really needs to step in. Hopefully this Republican Congress will do it and strip the EPA and other agencies like it of a lot of their authority and say, you know, anything that has an effect over $1 million or something like that has to have congressional approval by X amount, you know, not just a simple majority, maybe by a two-thirds majority to put it into effect, because that's what's happening. We're being governed by bureaucrats that decide things. They have a bunch of scientists that say, okay, this is a perfect world. This is how we get to a perfect world. Let's make the world perfect. Then we'll put this law, which is absolutely unenforceable and totally ridiculous because the technology doesn't exist to make this happen, and just impose this on an industry. And the result is disaster, economic disaster for everybody. I mean, if you cannot buy a gas-powered car in, 9 years from now? If you can't do that, or 10 years from now, if you can't do that, how's that going to impact you if you have to pay $60,000 for a car? And just right now, used cars are running $25,000, $30,000 in places because there's a shortage of them because people are hanging on to their used cars because they can't afford these new models that are coming out. They're too expensive. And electric cars are not cheap. I can't afford one. And there's no market, used car market for electric vehicles right now. And the maintenance on them is astronomical, not to mention the insurance. Insurance companies are finding electric vehicles, usually repairs are costing 2 to 3 times as much as they would for an ordinary internal combustion engine. The old cars have been driving for the last 100 years. They're so complex, and the big batteries in them and everything else, you got to replace the batteries after 5 or 6 years. They're not cheap. They're very, very expensive, many thousands of dollars expensive. People aren't going to be able to afford them. And by people, I mean average people. You know, I'm not talking about someone that makes $150,000, $200,000 a year. They're not average. The average person in this country makes about $60,000 a year. And that's the median income across the board was half above, half below. Places where I live, the median income is considerably less than that. They couldn't possibly afford that. And retired people, things like that, you're going to see people driving cars, you know, that are 15, 20 years old, as long as they possibly can to keep them running. That's not going to help air pollution. They just, at some point, they just become inefficient, and repairs are too expensive. You look at companies like Hertz. Hertz, I believe, was a company, car rental company, that dumped their electric vehicle fleet because they just cost too much to repair, and the insurance on them was too much, and they can't afford them. You know, just simple economics 101 says these things are not marketable. They're not ready yet. The technology's not ready, and they're not efficient. And by the way, we've had electric cars for over 100 years. We went to gas-powered cars because they're more economical. They're more efficient. And those things are very, very important to take into consideration when you have a mass market. If you don't have a car in a place like San Luis Obispo County, you're not going anywhere. I mean, I know they got a bus system, but it doesn't get you where you need to be on time with any flexibility. Your ability to live distances from large cities will be crimped, and a lot of people in the environmental movement want little towns like Paso Robles or Tascadero to go away. They want you all to live in little industrial centers or, you know, really highly concentrated housing, and you walk or bicycle every way. Lots of luck bicycling all over Tascadero, especially in the hills where a lot of wealthy people live because it's pretty expensive there, but it's not practical. And that's the main thing. You know, mobility means freedom. It means economic freedom. It means employment freedom. It means that you have the freedom to choose where you live and what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. They want to take that away from you. And one way to do that is to limit your mobility. In England, like in the town of Oxford, you have to have a permit to go more than 15 minutes away from the town, especially if you want to use a car. There are places you can't drive a car at all. You have to walk or bicycle every place you go. They mandated that. And if you want to leave that, you're going to have to get a permit from the city to do that. They control your mobility. In the former Soviet Union, communist countries, they had internal passport controls. You had to have a passport to go from province to province or county to county, and you had to justify it to a bunch of unelected communist bureaucrats who would decide if you really needed to make that trip or not. They got to decide that. They want to eliminate commercial aviation. They don't want you taking trips to Disney World or anything like that. They don't want you going to the mountains. One, they live there. They don't like all those tourists coming in there. And they've got multi-million dollar homes in the Rocky Mountains and things like that. And, you know, celebrities usually do that. But that's what they want to do. They want to keep all of us unwashed plebeians out of there, and because all we do is pollute the place in their eyes. They don't like the idea that the United States belongs to the American people. They want the United States to belong to a certain class of people, economic class of people, and they'll decide who gets to join that class. And they control access to education. They control access to employment. They control mobility. Right down the line, you think, oh, I'm being exaggerated. I'm extreme in my views. No, I'm not, because they say it. They say it in what they write. If you read what they actually say in their little journals, they think nobody reads with them. That's what they actually say, and they believe it. And they come out of universities, they write these papers, and it gets adopted by federal agencies as good ideas, and they just slowly squeeze you into the little lifestyle they want you to have. And denying you the ability to have the kind of car you want to have, or denying you the fuel for that car, denying you parts for the cars that you have, they're not economical. You won't be able to register these cars after a certain period of time. You know, not today, not tomorrow, but well, within 15 years probably, you won't be able to register an internal combustion engine powered vehicle in the state of California. They're already doing it to truckers. They're saying, well, if you're going to pick up goods and stuff from the port of Long Beach, you got to have an electric truck. Well, they don't have electric trucks. They cost twice as much as diesel powered trucks. And I just bought this thing. I can't possibly afford to buy that. And they don't care. They don't care at all. The independent truckers are having a really tough time right now. It interferes with interstate commerce. But Biden's in office, and until he's out of office, you know, you're going to have a hard time getting officials, judges, and, you know, other people, regulators, to listen until they're told they have to listen that this is a really dumb idea. They affect the whole nation this way, you know, in terms of movement of goods and services and things, bottlenecks, logistics bottlenecks, supply chain shortages. They're creating all these conditions, and they're creating this hardship because they want to. You know, it's really, I know I'm sounding like a broken record. I say this stuff all the time, but you need to understand what's happening to you. And I hope that you will take that into consideration. The last thing I'll talk about, Biden's pardons. Outrageous. I don't think pardons should be allowed by the president between Election Day and the time the next president gets sworn in. One of the people he pardoned slaughtered a home with four children. They were targeted by a murderer in prison as retaliation for their testimony with another relative. So we hired someone to burn down their house, and he killed four kids. That's the kind of thing that's happening. We got a lot of problems, Governor. Hopefully Trump will solve that. We're out of time. I hope you have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by the Work Family Ranch, the perfect outdoor activity for any level rider. Book your horseback ride today, 805-467-3362, or go to workranch.com.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.